Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please do not put a call in unless we ask for it, because right now we have on the line Nancy Levat, and we're going to be talking about her book, The Cultural Devastation of American Women, The Strange and Frightening Decline of the American Female. And Nancy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. Nice to be back.
Well, I'm going to let you sort of tell our listeners about the book. Of course, in many ways, it's your story of your life and, of course, your experience in latter years now observing what really has happened to the American family. You run a daycare center for children, and you have a chance to see a lot of women bring their children in. And you've noticed that, you know, with all this wonderful freedom that the American woman has, unlike women throughout the rest of the world, they don't seem to be utilizing this freedom the way that they should to make a better home for their families or better people out of themselves. So you pick up the story.
Okay, well, let me just start by saying that this book was brewing in my mind for a good decade. And it's kind of interesting how it came to be. I have worked primarily with children, the children of Generation X. And it's interesting because I was born in 1954 to my mother, who was 43 years old when she had me. My mother was born in 1912. And, of course, I remember my grandmother very, very well and very dearly, who was born in the 1880s. And so I have grown up with this very broad spectrum of women, marriage, and motherhood. From my grandmother's perspective to my mother's perspective. And then I ended up basically caring for many of the children of what we call Generation X. And so I think that I do have kind of a broad perspective of just kind of the history of women and of their belief systems and their value systems. And what I have seen, basically, is that there has been, number one, you know, most children, well, at least 50% of children now come from divorced families. This has become very commonplace. This is something that has become culturally accepted in the West. And we have also seen the change from the stay-at-home mother to the career mother or the working mother. And what I have seen is a lot of damage in children. And it's not just that I have seen it. I have heard it from children themselves. And I kind of used as a base and a premise for the book things that have been told to me from children over many years of working with children. And I incorporated the commentary of children throughout my book.
And, of course, as you comment really on what you see, so many women are so, they're involved with how they look and whether they're overweight, and but they don't seem to be really dedicated to the family. They're almost hedonistic in what they're doing and self-centered. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, I think it is a fair statement. And I think that this self-centeredness and almost self-omnipotent type of behavior really was kind of born and bred in the political feminist movement.
All right. We're going to be back here in just a few moments with Nancy Levat and her book on American women. Nancy, pick the story up there.
I think that when we look at the feminist movement, American women I think, almost completely see liberation in terms of the definition of the feminist movement. My premise is that American women do not understand what liberation means. And I think if you want to understand what liberation means, you need to examine it in terms of slavery and in terms of the bitter, bitter things that have happened to enslaved people all over the world and throughout history. And I think that when American women took on the political definition of feminism, they took on a very different meaning. I think that liberation somehow became very, very entwined with the political movements of America, with the corporatizing of America, to the point where we now see massive, massive marketplaces, corporations marketing the beauty industry, the health industry, the slenderness industries to women. And then we also see things like the New Freedom Initiative on Mental Health, which specifically targets women and children to become pharmaceutical industry clients. And I think that women have basically become very unhappy. We have about 50% of the married population succumbs to divorce. This leaves women in very difficult circumstances most often, especially if they have custody of children. We see women who are literally burning the candles at both ends, working, trying to pay the bills and pay mortgages and rent, so on and so forth, and car payments, and raise children alone. We see... interesting to me is we see now approximately 20 million American women are now on antidepressants. And what I'm seeing is I'm not seeing women who are grateful to be liberated and happy. I'm seeing women who are very unhappy, who seem to find solace in mirrors and in tanning booths, and in the absolute absurdity of the vanity industries, everything from...
You hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant. We're talking about her book, American Women, The Cultural Devastation of American Women. And she points out that with this liberation, this wonderful liberation that we've had here, why feminism has really changed so very much, and so many American women seem to be so concerned about their appearance, or they want to spend their time in the tanning salon, so they want to spend their time, you know, getting their nails done, or they want to spend their time in the gym exercising, and many times they lose sight of the what it really is to be a woman. So many women today are divorced and having to raise the children on their own. So many women today are on depressants, and she talks about about 20 million women are on some sort of a psychotropic medication. And will you pick up the story there, Nancy?
Yes. Well, I just see women who... The vanity industry is very interesting to me. It has become the norm now for women not only to get their hair done, but to have makeup applied, to have false fingernails applied, to go to tanning booths, to have breast implants and a liposuction and Botox, and it's just, I mean, replumbing jobs. I mean, it's absolutely become absurd. And it almost seems to me that American women are attempting to become a different kind of female, or even another woman. And what it says to me is that no matter what women do in contemporary America, they cannot be beautiful enough. They cannot be young enough. And this speaks to me of self-loathing. And this does not jive with liberated thinking and with liberation. It is my take that the feminist movement, when it came in to this country in full force, number one, it basically suctioned 40 to 50 million children from the bodies of American women. It has made women extremely paranoid about their looks, about aging. It has placed multi-millions, maybe upwards of 30 to 40 million children, just right now, today, in some type of daycare center, because women are now working. And I see women who are very unhappy, who are very insecure in their physical bodies. And I think that women are actually suffering from a great deal of guilt, a great deal of confusion. They're supposed to be liberated. This is supposed to be the greatest time in American women's lives. And yet, every year, millions and millions more American women are on antidepressants. And I think that we need to look very, very clearly and think very, very carefully about what has happened to the American woman. The other thing that I see is women who have become literally obsessed with their homes. And it's not that they are doing the work in their homes or decorating their homes or have become, you know, very artistically minded with their homes. They're hiring out all functions. They're hiring in interior decorators. They're hiring in party planners. They hire in cleaners, maids, pool cleaners, landscapers, window washers, you name it. Everything that has been traditionally the role of women in the making of the home and in the preparation of the nest is now hired out. And once again, we come back to the fact if women are so happy in today's America, why are 20 million today currently on antidepressants, and why are women trying everything in their power to change what they look like? It's almost as if women are trying to get back to age 16, and they can't do it, no matter how many surgeries, no matter how many makeup jobs or tanning sessions or teeth bleachings, they cannot get back to that youthful enough appearance. And it causes this, the decades and decade-long diets that don't work. Women continue to age. They continue to get heavier as they age. And instead of finding peace with age, they find self-loathing. And this is not liberation.
What does all of this do to the children? Because you work with the children, and many times you care for the children during the days while mother's off, at the spa or at the tanning salon or at the gym working out, or maybe she's working during the daytime. But what does this do to the children? What's the impact?
Well, there's a couple of things. One of the first things that I have noticed over the years working with children is that women are not cooking in the home. It's often more of a rarity that they cook in the home. Women tend to pick up their children from after they have their children have been in daycare for 10 and sometimes 12 hours a day with either pizzas or drive-through bags of food. Children are not eating properly. I have seen many, many, many overweight children, terribly overweight children, and at the same time, many, many, many terribly underweight children. You know, it used to be that you would rarely, if ever, see what we call today a hyperactive or ADHD child. And now it's very, very common. Autism was an incredibly rare thing that one would ever see. And now you have many autistic children in just about every type of daycare facility. And I see parents who do not have time, nor do they take the time to raise their children. I see children who are growing up in extremely sterilized, quote-unquote, made-cleaned homes, where they are simply not allowed to rush and run as children do. I see children who are set in front of computers and video movies and video games in order to entertain them, so that they are basically silent, out of the way, and that parents simply don't have to deal with them. And, of course, all of these screen entertainments are highly, highly addictive to children, especially children who were ignored to begin with. I also see children, and this is terribly commonplace, all across the country, who are following these dreadful stints in the public school system, then go immediately from the schools into these intramural or select sports regimens, where the physical training of these children has absolutely become absurd. I mean, these children are in extremely rigid physical trainings, specifically for select sports, for several hours after school, and then they have to go home and do several hours of homework, to where there is literally no time left whatsoever for childhood. And these select sports regimens also take up Saturday and Sundays, because these are typically when the games and the tournaments occur. And so you're seeing children who literally have lost their childhoods. And this is the norm in America. If children aren't playing intramural sports after school now, their parents are considered to be either poor parents or parents without resources. And it's just that the lives of children have degraded, the lives of women have degraded, and, of course, the lives of men have solely degraded, because half of the adult men in America are paying child support payments, many, many, many millions of which have enormous child support arrearages. And, you know, it just seems to me that the family has been so degraded by, quote-unquote, liberation, by the political movements and the corporate movements that target people into these certain trains of these living patterns. And, you know, I think that the American family is in terrible, terrible danger of total collapse.
Well, I feel that you're absolutely right, and I think that a lot of this we can attribute to what people see in the motion pictures, to the various programs they see on television, the soap operas, and the appearance of the people there, and the infidelity, which is so commonplace in this make-believe world of celluloid, and yet, of course, people follow this along, and they begin to identify with this, and what about the sexual breakdown, the moral breakdown of our society? What impact has sexual liberation had on the female?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. When you consider that, you know, pedophiles seem to target girls usually between the ages of maybe 9 and 12, and then at the same time you have mothers who literally do sexualize their children. I have seen many, many, many female children, young children, pubescent children, running around in belly shirts with very provocative clothing, mothers buying their little girls, you know, bikini underwear and bikini bathing suits and bikini this and bikini that. And it's just, there seems to be it's more and more every year, which we see on television, a sexualizing of the American female, from children all the way up to adults. You see a show called Desperate Housewives, for instance. It is this kind of gross sexualization of women, and yet it's almost turned into comedy.
Hold that right. We'll be right back. All right, go ahead. Pick it up, Nancy.
Then you see the entire cities that are kind of built upon the sexualizing of women. Cities like Las Vegas, for instance. Actually, New York as well. And, you know, there's just this terrible systematic, and I think very corporate, ploy to actually set women back. Now, you would think that quote-unquote feminism would come in and save the day, but my take on the political feminist movement is that I think that it exists, and I think it actually came to fruition to exist as a population control structure.
Now, what do you mean by a population control structure?
Well, when you consider that the feminist, one of the rights of liberation has been for women to abort 40 to 50 million American children. And you also see movements to, and this has happened also, like in the 60s, the sterilization, court-ordered sterilization of poor women or of women with some type of a mental illness or some type of a physical abnormality. I think that you see that feminism is kind of about depopulation. And I think that this is very true. I think that I think that the feminist movement is very tied to the United Nations and population control. And I think that sterilization has been tied to the feminist movement. And, you know, if the American people were to think of another country in the world and 40 to 50 million children being removed from the bodies of women, we would call this some type of a horrible genocide. And yet we cannot see it here because it has been somehow incorporated into the minds of women that this is liberation. And this is not liberation. This is genocide.
I think you're absolutely right, Nancy, and I don't think most people understand that one of the major driving forces behind what is going on here in America, whether it would be, of course, encouraging abortion or even encouraging homosexuality. Why would they want to encourage homosexuality? Well, if you read the material I do, put out by people who are in favor of population control,
yes,
they want homosexuality because they usually don't reproduce.
Yes.
And, of course, because many of them die very young. And it's so difficult for the average individual to believe anything could be this crass and indifferent to human suffering and the great tragedy of homosexuality, because you really talk to homosexuals, they're not gay and happy, and they wish that they weren't that way the way they are. And the fact that this would be actively encouraged, you know, by what I really feel are diabolical people, is so beyond the pale, so beyond the really the ability of most people to believe that they've been able to get away with it. But I think you're absolutely right, and you certainly have an excellent grasp of what's going on, because I guess you deal with it every day, don't you?
I deal with it every day. And, you know, I think about things like Planned Parenthood, which was also basically one of the outgrowths of the feminist movement. Well, think of the title of that organization.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant, and of course, Nancy is runs a daycare center. She looks after children, and she's had an opportunity to take care of literally thousands of children who are simply dropped off by their mothers. Some, of course, have to put their child into a daycare center so they can work, so they can survive. But it would appear that so many of the women actually just put them there because they don't want to be bothered with them, because they want to get on with their exciting life, like going to the tanning salon or going to the gym to work out or going out on a marathon run. So pick up the story there, Nancy.
Well, you know, on that note, I this is something that has always amazed me. Women today are literally obsessed with their weight and their looks. And every diet that comes down the pike, it can be Atkins diet, it can be the South Beach diet, it can, whatever diet it is, whatever new diet, American women jump on that bandwagon to the tune of billions of dollars a year, and yet they do not cook for their children. They feel like this is servitude. They're uncomfortable with the role as the cook for a family, even as the nurturing person for the family. They see it as servitude, and they feel that now, through quote-unquote liberation, they can hire people to perform the basic functions of motherhood, and this is absolutely outrageous. One of my greatest concerns is, how will today's child view family life? How will they view marriage when they have had no nurturing in the home, but rather have had paid staff to clean their rooms, to clean their gutters, to rake their leaves? What is home when you live in this terribly, terribly clinical environment, which homes have become, and without parents? And these children go to school. Their minds are very much manipulated in the Agenda 21 way in the public schools now. And then they leave schools. They go into these massive physical regimens through these intramural sports programs, which one wonders if they are not pre-military physical training, especially when we have legislation now that's pending for the draft of both men or males and females in the United States. And at the same time, you have parents who, and usually with no alternatives, both of them are working. Everyone knows Americans don't work 8 hours a day anymore. They work 10 hours a day. This is why children are in daycare centers from 10 to 12 hours a day. And, how will children grow up? How will they view family life and marriage? I see children who are extremely unhappy in the home. I see children with more and more eating disorders, with social disorders, and it's because no one is nurturing the child.
And yet that was originally the function of a mother. She was to be at home. She was to look after the children. The father was to go off to work, and it was his job to provide for his wife and for his children. But we seem to have lost that vision, haven't we? In fact, so many women, even if they have a husband, are forced to work today.
Well, we have lost that vision, but, in many ways we have been so manipulated by the feminist movement. Here's something interesting about the feminist movement. If you disagree with anything the feminist movement has to say, you're an idiot. And so, once again, what kind of liberation is that? If we are liberated women in this country, why do we need this mass lobbying group to tell us every year, each and every year, what our rights should be or what our rights are, how we should think, how we should feel about marriage, how we should be raising our children? Once again, what I see is gender control taking shape through the quote-unquote political feminist movement. If you disagree with them, you are a fool, and that is how you are perceived.
Well, that is just the way they use silence everybody. If you disagree with anything that's going on today, if you're concerned about the course that our current administration is taking, why, you'll be demonized. If you disagree with what's being done in education, if you are concerned about immigration, why, you're a racist. There's always an attack, Nancy. It's a standard operating procedure to silence dissent, as America goes from being a great nation to a second-class nation. And we're going to be back in just a moment here with Nancy Levatt here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nancy, would you mind taking any calls?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, we've got Gloria calling from Spokane. Hi, Gloria, how are you doing?
Hi. Oh, I just am really enjoying your speaker tonight. I just think that the thing she's saying needs to be said, and does she have a book or something?
She has a book, and we're going to tell you how to get it as soon as we get back from the this short break. But did you have any question or comment you'd like to make?
No, I just want to keep listening to her.
Well,
it's fascinating. She's telling
one of
truth.
Our favorite guests, and we've had her on different subjects. She writes, incidentally. You can get her articles at newswithviews.com.
Now, what is her name?
Her name is Nancy Levant.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
great.
So
well,
you
I'm
can
enjoying
pick
them.
Up her articles. They're always very provocative, but she's written the book, and we've got just 2 or 3 minutes where we'll mention how you can get it. And it's good to hear from you, but we haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, I think what we need to do as older women is teach the younger women in the, you know, in the church what their role is to make our husbands happy and to provide warmth and attention to our children. You know, whether we're grandmothers, that's what I'm doing now is paying a lot of attention to the grandchildren. And my daughter stays at home with the children, and our husband's very happy, and the whole family is happy, and it's a blessing to see it in operation.
Well, that was the way that the family used to work. Nancy, how would you respond to Gloria?
Well, Gloria, thank you so much for your very kind comments, first of all. And everything that she said reminds me of my mother and my grandmother. Now, these women did not truly understand, quote-unquote, political feminist liberation. These women stayed at home. They raised their children. They remained married for their entire lives, basically. And they were extremely happy people. And I think that women, this has been robbed from American women.
Mm-hmm.
They have been told that they need to work, they need to concentrate on themselves, and that home life was servitude. And that was simply never the case for my mother or my grandmother. That's not how they perceived their lives. They received joy, truly joy, from their families, from their homes, from working together with their families, providing for their families, and saving money. Now, American women are pathological spendthrifts, and consequently, they have absurd debt, particularly due to the vanity industries. And if my mother or my grandmother would absolutely be more than appalled.
Hold that thought, Nancy. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this evening is Nancy Levant. We're talking about her book entitled American Women, The Cultural Devastation of American Women. Nancy, how can people get your book?
Well, there are lots of ways. Basically, you can get my book through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Any major bookseller in the United States has my book. You can also buy my book through NewsWithViews.com.
That's NewsWithViews.com. You go up on the Internet, and that's, of course, Paul Walters' website. All right. And it's an excellent book. It's not that large. It's a very gratifying book to read, because I will have to admit I agree with just about everything that Nancy says. Gloria is calling from Spokane. Did you have anything else you wanted to say? But
no,
it's
just wonderful to hear a voice of reason and truth out there. It's so rare, but it is true. The women are really, they're being taken advantage of. They have to get these fake fingernails and all these other silly things and waste their time, which is just such a waste of time.
Oh, and the Botox. I mean, all these women, they have to go in there every 6 months or 8 months for their Botox treatment and you know, their breast implants. And you know, it's vanity, vanity, thy name is woman.
It's pathological vanity.
It really is. It really is.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to reading your book.
Well, thank you so very much, Gloria.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And that was Gloria calling from Spokane. And if you're out there and you'd like to talk to Nancy, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. You know, Nancy, as I read your book, I get the sense that you feel that there's a great spiritual longing in many of these women, that they, since they have lost any spiritual belief, they really try to find their outlets in other places.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have lost... we have lost almost the reasoning power to open ourselves up spiritually. Christianity has become a kind of a shadow in the United States of America. And people are almost afraid to be a Christian or to try to be a Christian because, frankly, political forces have made it very unpopular, an unpopular religion. And I see women who are literally screaming for help. As I said, we've got 20 million American women today taking antidepressants, prescription antidepressants. We have multi-millions of American women who are tanning, bleaching, fake nails, replumbing their bodies, fake breasts, doing absolutely anything under the sun to literally change themselves. And as I said, this speaks of tremendous self-loathing. And I think that women need to try to reconnect themselves.
I agree with you totally. Well, let's go to Barbara, who's calling from Soquel, California. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to ask Nancy what she thought. I was reading statistics the other day. I don't remember where, but 1 in 10 children are born by cesarean section in the United States today.
Isn't that bizarre?
Just for more convenience sake than anything? I was astounded. I
you know, I don't know. That's very interesting because, and it's a good question. People need to realize that there is a tremendous global movement to depopulate the planet. And you can find this information through Agenda 21 and through the Earth Charter and through many, many global governance missions. Some claim that the population or the global population is to be lowered by as much as 3/4. By the year 2050 to create or maintain what they call sustainable development or a sustainable planet. There are a lot of fishy things going on in the medical community and in the pharmaceutical community. I'll give you one example. There is a Republican representative by the name of Beverly Hammerstrom. She's in the 17th district of the state of Michigan. She has introduced legislation out of the blue to make mandatory new vaccine for all girls entering the 6th grade or age 12 to supposedly inoculate them against cervical cancer. Now, this is interesting. It's mandatory vaccine. Now, cervical cancer, to my knowledge, you can't catch it from someone, and it's not epidemic either. And yet, this is a mandatory vaccine. I understand that 45 other states are also considering this legislation. Now, the question is, what is really going on here? When we have global political mandates to lower the population by between 2/3 and 3/4, and all of a sudden we have these new mandatory vaccinations for female children in this country, one has to ask themselves what the bottom line is here.
Well, Nancy, I do think that basically the vaccine is for human papillomavirus, which is sexually transmitted, and there is a direct relationship between human papillomavirus and cervical cancer, so it really is, in some respects, a contagious condition. However, certainly the vaccine does not protect you from all human papillomavirus, and the other thing is that we know that in both, because I personally talked to doctors from both the Philippines and from Kenya and Africa, that they were actually putting contraceptive material in the vaccines,
yes.
So that women who have childbearing age could not conceive. So I share your concern. I think this is a terrible situation. We should not be giving our children a vaccine. First of all, because I don't trust the people who make the vaccines,
yes.
because they've repeatedly done things that were harmful to people throughout the world. But number two, of course, what we're doing is giving them a license. Just go ahead and be as promiscuous as you want. You don't have to worry now because
exactly.
you've got the vaccine. But the trouble is there are a lot of other sexually transmitted diseases that, of course, this will not protect. So I agree with you.
Well, there have been some studies, too, about this vaccine on what happens when women do become pregnant. And there have been some studies that suggest that an inordinate number of their pregnancies experience some type of problems, including babies aborting.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. And then once again, now you see that normal childbirth, I mean, women have been having babies since the beginning of the time, and many of which just simply under trees with no hospitals. And now all of a sudden, as she said, a tenth of the female population in this country is now having surgery to have their babies, which of course is dangerous. And it's all just a very, very interesting scenario that we're seeing because there's more than meets the eye.
Amen to that. Barbara, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, just to thank Nancy for writing her book, and I'm looking forward to reading it.
Oh, bless you. Well, thank you, honey.
Bye-bye. All right, well, let's go to Alex, who's calling in from Pennsylvania. Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Go ahead. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I did. Basically, I wanted to say that I'm Christian as well, and I lost two jobs that I had now from blacklisting. I worked at a hospital where they gave birth to a lot of children and stuff like that. And Mike, I don't know if I have a question or a comment. It's just, I know the word politics. I work for a lot of businesses, and I notice so much politics that now I just work for myself.
You're a lot better off if you can, because, you know, if you don't like the boss, why, you just have to change your ways. I work for myself as well, and I'll tell you, I've always worked for myself, you know, since I got out of medical school, and I never would want to have to work for anybody else. God bless. Anything else you want to say, Alex?
Yeah, basically, I wanted to say with women giving birth and stuff like that, I wouldn't be surprised about everything that you're saying, and I know it's all true, because I know a lot of politics that are going on like that, legislation. All it takes is Satan to basically get enough support. We're living in the end times, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that there's certainly a lot to suggest you're right. God bless, and thanks so much for calling.
Yep, have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Nancy Devant, and her book, The Cultural Devastation of American Women, and, of course, the book is available from Amazon.com or certainly, do you have a website at all, Nancy, you'd like to get out?
Not my own website, no, but I write for many, many websites, weekly columns all over the country. You can just Google search using my name, and you can find most of them that way.
All right, what is the contrived romance?
Oh, the contrived romance. my premise is that we have learned, probably several, maybe three generations of us, have learned, quote-unquote, romance through television and movies. And so many of us now will marry after very, very rapid romances, usually sexual romances, and we expect a fantasy, I believe, rather than the truth of human beings. And I think that we need to go back to rational courtship, to real courtship. I think that you cannot know a person for a year or two, because you need to know really a person's soul, their background, their family's background. And we don't do that anymore. We tend to quote-unquote, hook up. and it takes away the depth of knowing a person and the spiritual nature of knowing a person and falling in love. We don't really fall in love. We fall into bed. And it just lessens the meaning of love. And I don't think that American people really understand love. It's a throwaway item. If you don't like this one, you get rid of it and you go on to the next one. And of course we see this in marriages. And it's a very, very tragic scenario for children, and it's very soul damaging to us as people. It spiritually damages us every time we move from one relationship to another.
I think you're absolutely so right, and I often think, you know, when people get married and they make their vows to one another, I mean, it's a very touching situation. But if you look at the message of the traditional marriage, you're not making the vow to your spouse, you're making the vow to God. And you're making that vow to God no matter what your spouse does and no matter how angry you may get at them or they may get at you. But this is a union that God has made, and you've made a vow to God to stay with that partner for the rest of your
life.
Well,
you cannot go into a marriage or any kind of a relationship thinking that it is disposable if you don't want it anymore.
Right.
Marriage is not a disposable item. Because when you dispose of your marriage, you also dispose of the souls of your children.
Amen to that. And really, the children are the victims of so much of what's going on today. What is women's intuition, and why is it so important?
Women's intuition. Well, this is something that women have lost. And this is something that is terribly disconcerting to me. In my opinion, women's intuition is a terribly powerful force. I think that women can and do sense danger. I think that they sense when things are wrong. I think that they sense when things might go wrong or when things are right and should be done. And I think that we simply have in this culture learned to ignore this. I think that women's intuition is based upon and is given to us so that we can secure and protect the nest. And the nest is the family and the home. It's the marriage and the children and the home. And I think that when women deny this within themselves because they are quote-unquote liberated, I think that they lose the essence of their biological femininity and of their primary reason for being on the planet. We are here to bring children into the world and to raise children. They are our only true legacies. Our fake breasts are not legacies. Our tans and our bleached teeth are not legacies. Our jobs are not legacies. But our children are our legacies. And we must realize that we have tremendous power as females, and that true liberation really does exist within the intuitive abilities and the spiritual abilities of women. But those abilities cannot be grown outside of the biological natures of women. And we are nest builders. We are the primary nurturers of children. We have wombs, we have breasts, we have everything we need to bring children into the world and to nurture and feed and love and care for those children. But if we discard that because we are, quote, liberated, what we end up discarding are our true and authentic identities as females.
Well, I certainly think you put it very, very well. God made men and women different. And my wife is much more intuitive in many ways than I am, and I accept that, and I respect her for it. And I think that it's really such a tragedy when women don't want to be women and don't want to be mothers and don't want to have children and want to be career women. And certainly I think that the career woman who gives up her career, whether she be a physician or whatever she may be, to stay home and raise her children until they're grown and give them that nurturing and that security that they can only get from a mother.
Well, absolutely. And it doesn't mean that women cannot have careers. You can definitely work from the home, or you can have a job and homeschool your children so that your children can go with you and learn many, many new things. There are ways to be a working woman. And, you know, we need to make money because houses cost $100,000 to $200,000 to $300,000 and automobiles are $40,000. So, yes, we do need to make money. But we can do it from the home, or we can do it very creatively so that our children and our home lives and our husbands still remain the spiritual center of our lives. It can be done.
I'm sure it can. Will you hang on? There will be a back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program with Nancy Levant. Well, Nancy, there's just a lot of good common sense in your book, and, you know, I just appreciate so much your taking the time to be with us and discuss this, and certainly, you know, I think that the major thing is that women have to acknowledge they're women. Liberation, of course, I think is the worst thing at all that could possibly have happened, at least this whole idea of sexual liberation. I don't have to go by the old-fashioned mores, and if you don't go by the old-fashioned mores, there are always going to be terrible consequences. There are going to be consequences not only as far as physical disease, but the emotional consequence of the shattered romance, always looking for that security and nourishing that they never seem to find.
Absolutely. And it's not that I am saying that we are not liberated. We are liberated. And so what I am saying is you don't need the political feminist movement to now define you. You can define yourselves. You are free to do that. And let me just say this. Liberation occurred in this country not due to the feminist movement. Liberation occurred in this country due to the American male who saw the value of women with rights in a sovereign republic. Had it not been for the goodwill of men to allow this to transpire in this country, the quote-unquote feminist movement never would have occurred. But now women, what women need to now realize is you don't need a bunch of other women to now define you and to tell you what you think, to tell you what is modern thinking. You are liberated. You may choose to believe what you choose to believe. If you want to be a mother, if you want to stay at home, if you want to raise your children, you don't need a bunch of political feminists to tell you that that is an improper thing to do. You are liberated. You may now use your own minds.
And of course, I think the most important thing is that it was really the Christian influence in this country, unlike, for instance, in the Muslim countries where a man can have four wives and she doesn't have any right. It was Christianity and the Christian influence here that of course, I think liberated women initially. I think they've simply, in an effort to undermine that Christian influence that we have in the feminist movement that tells women, oh, you're being oppressed if you have to stay home and raise children and look after your husband and take care of the children when they're sick and, oh, yes, and keep the house up. And I think the liberated woman is a woman who really is a good mother and a good wife.
God Absolutely. It's Thanks. A woman who knows what it means to be a biological, natural, and spiritual female.
And our guest has been Nancy Levant, and God bless you, Nancy. Thanks very much for being with us, and we look to having you back on to talk about your book and some of our other programs.
God bless you, and thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Nancy Levant, and certainly we always enjoy having Nancy with us. And we will be having on our other programs to talk about her book and then on many of the other issues she writes about so well. Remember, you can look at her columns at newswithviews.com, and I think you'll find out that Nancy has thought very deeply about a lot of these issues, and I think her input is always worthwhile. Well, this is the time when, of course, I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America, you listen to our programs, and you agree that we have something unusual to offer, that many of you will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family, and you do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. Now, I need to remind you, we are having our annual Radio Liberty seminar. It's going to be on the 29th of October here in the Monterey Bay area. We're bringing in Constance Cumby, who's certainly one of my favorite guests, who back in the early 80s began writing about the New Age and the occult movement and their influence on contemporary society. She's actually going to be giving two talks. We're bringing her in from Detroit, Michigan. We're going to have Chris Pinto with us, who did the award-winning documentary The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Incidentally, if you haven't seen it, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. In order to The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, we think it's a very important video. But Chris will be there, and as well as other speakers. We need to know how many people are coming. We're getting a good response so far, but we're hoping to get a lot more. And so if you can make it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And if you're coming from elsewhere, why, let us know, and we'll go ahead and send you a map and a list of the local motels and hotels. Then, of course, we want to mention we hope to get Dr. Dennis Kennedy's book, Secret Records Revealed, back in print. It's a very important book, and, of course, we'd like to get it back in print for him. And we've actually added an index. We've added an epilogue so that people will be brought right up to date. But here you have so many of the quotations from the people who shaped the world in which we live. And until you understand that everything going on is part of a plan, the plan to destroy Christianity and create this one world order under a group of ruling elite. And these people are quite open in what they say. That's why the book Secret Records Revealed is so important. If you'd like to get a case of Dr. Cuddy's books, you can sign up for them right now. And if we can get sufficient support, we'll go ahead and publish the book. I think it's very important. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And look at the various things we offer. We do offer a health catalog. We certainly think that you should be taking nutritional supplements and so many other things that will really help you to get, especially at this time of year, you should be taking vitamin D. The reason we have so many colds at this time of year is because of the shortage of vitamin D. You're not getting out in the sun, and you need the other things to increase your immunity. And we carry so many of these items here at Radio Liberty. If you'd like a free health catalog, we'd be glad to send it. The other thing is, if what we hear is correct, and there really is military units actually moving now towards Iran and Persian Gulf, we may be amassed in a horrible war with the Muslim world within a few months. And if you think that we can do that without repercussions, you're incredibly naive. Let me suggest that you seriously consider laying in a food supply. We do have a catalog that at least makes suggestions of what you need to get and the things you may want to get from professional distributors, and a lot of the things you can buy locally, but certain things you would want to lay supplies in on. If you need the Berkey water filters, things of that sort, why, give us a call for information on our health catalog, on our food catalog, and then on our regular catalog, and then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, and pray for our ministers as well. This is a spiritual battle. There truly are demonic forces out there. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest this evening, who's Lou Epton. Now, well, many of you may not know Lou, but I've known him for many years, and he's one of that small band of people, like myself, who are out on the front lines of this battle, using radio to try to reach the American people to understand what's going on. And Lou has a program every afternoon in the Las Vegas area on the sister station to the program we do here every afternoon in the Monterey Bay area. And it's owned by the same people, and he does a program there, and we do a program here, just about the same time. And Lou has been doing this for many years, trying to awaken the American people. And there's sort of a camaraderie among people of this sort that, people like old Joyce Riley and Alex Jones, and I could name probably Chuck Chris Meyer, Pastor Butch Palm. I mean, a group of people who are out there trying to let people understand that freedom is in jeopardy today. And freedom, once lost, will never be regained. But most people really don't understand what freedom really is about. They think freedom is the ability to do what you ever want to do, but that's not true at all. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. Freedom is the ability to do what you should do according to the laws of God, because if we can't govern ourselves, if we don't have self-government, then we're going to have to be ruled by tyrants, whereas William Pettit said so well. Those who will not be ruled by tyrant, by God, will be ruled by tyrants. And it was John Adams who said our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It would not work for any other. And that really is so true. If we do not have good and moral people who can govern themselves, then we will have a tyrant overlooking us, and I fear that's coming very rapidly. Well, Lou, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
It's my pleasure. It's an honor to be on your program, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Well, let's see. We were going to. Do you tell me what you'd like to talk about, and we'll pick it up from there.
Well, I like what you were just saying, because so few people really understand what freedom is. Now, I'm older, and I remember much better days. Now, I know there's a much larger population in the country, and things are not quite as easy as they were when I was a young man. But people are more uptight today. People are worse than uptight. They're angry, and they may not even know what they're angry about. But people aren't communicating like we once did. People aren't socializing like we once did. I know there are always those that do, but in the main, how many of us really even know our neighbors anymore? And that's a heck of a commentary, especially from us. Person such as myself, I grew up in the city of Chicago, which is a big city, but we knew almost everyone on our block. I mean, if I was outside playing and I did something wrong, I didn't have to worry so much about my parents finding, seeing me do it. The whole block was my parents, because if somebody down the street saw me do something wrong, and the chances were good somebody would, they'd call my parents and let them know.
And, of course, it was a whole different world when we were growing up. And I think we've lost that vision. I noticed, for instance, on an airplane, it used to be you often talk to the people next to you on the plane. But, now sometimes you try to strike up a conversation, and they're so absorbed in the book they're reading or their BlackBerry, a hand-held device that... People are almost too busy for other people today. It's almost as if we've lost this camaraderie that once made us American. We're going to be back in just a moment with Lou Epton here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Lou.
I was going to say, it bothers me when I look at the press and I see that about half of the children in America are being raised by single-parent families. I mean, they don't have childhoods like we did. They start the day, they may have a quick breakfast of some kind, and they're whisked off to a daycare center, and then they're picked up in the evening, and if they spend half an hour with their mother and or their father, boy, that's a day. And the weekends are being carted back and forth between one or the other. It's not a normal childhood. And, you know, these are the very youngsters that are going to be running our nation in the not-distant future. And I think it doesn't bode well for what kind of a future this country is going to have.
You know, I think when people have a divorce, they, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't like my spouse anymore. And, you know, I've fallen out of love. I've fallen in love with somebody else. But they never understand that a divorce, a splitting up of a marriage, has a profound impact on those children that cannot be overdone, that can, you know, cannot be undone. There's nothing you can do to change that. The security of the home, the nurturing of a mother and a father is gone forever.
That's right.
And really, it's such a tragedy for those children. I don't think that the average individual, when they decided that they no longer love their spouse, has really thought of the consequences of what's going to happen to those children.
Oh, I'm sure you're right there. You know, it's interesting. You've got to ask how many people enjoy the jobs that they hold. And I don't think you'd find the majority saying, I love my job. But they keep the job because they get a check at the end of the week. Well, there's problems in marriage. Nobody will deny that. But it's like anything else. It's something that you need to work at. And if your intent is there to make it a good marriage, then you'll have one. But it's too easy anymore to file for divorce. So we've got that problem. We've got so many problems, Dr. Stan. It's frustrating. And, you know, I hate to be so negative at this time or on my own program. And yet, it's difficult not to be when you're aware of the truth of everything that's going on. And so many things are going on. One of my favorite topics lately has been the health situation of our nation, and now we have names for every kind of a problem you can imagine.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lou Epton, and Lou has a program in the afternoon there in Las Vegas. And what do you do, 2 hours in the afternoon?
I do 1.5.
1.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, I always enjoy being on Lou's program. But Lou, of course, has a chance to talk to the people there in Las Vegas to try to get them to understand. And he has got a great loyal audience. I know whenever we do a program there, we always get a couple of responses from the people maybe buying a book or something of this sort. But you can tell that people are listening by the response you get. And I certainly, you always get an excellent response from Lou's listeners. But you were going to say, you were talking a lot about health care. Want to pick up that thought?
Yeah, if I may, Dr. Stan, because this is something you're very knowledgeable in, but now they're talking about screening just about everybody. And psychiatry has never been a proven science. They say there are a lot of people that are depressed. Well, what is depression? If you lose a loved one, you're going to be depressed. If you had a nasty divorce, you're going to be depressed. If things aren't going the way you would like them to go, you're not going to feel as good as you would otherwise. It's a normal emotion, but it's easy to get out of it, and time is a wonderful healer all by itself. I think this whole thing is just a money-making machine for the big pharmaceutical corporations that obviously never seem to be making enough money, no matter how many billions they may be raking in. And I'll tell you, and it's my own personal opinion, but I don't like pharmaceutical prescriptions, that's obvious. Two, if people paid more attention to the side effects of these prescriptions, I think a lot less people would be taking them. But when it comes to psychotropic type of medications, I think it's responsible for some of the recent tragedies we've had. I've never seen anything like this in my life, where people go into a school and just arbitrarily decide to murder children, or where some youngster starts carrying a gun to school. I mean, it's just me, but I honestly think that the pharmaceutical labs are as much responsible for what's going on as anything else. So,
I'm very concerned about the fact there's 6 or 7 million American children that are getting prescriptions for Ritalin every year. We were just talking to a lady talking about 20 million women are taking some sort of a psychotropic medication. But, you know, one of the most interesting things I've learned, and of course, you know, I was a physician. Well, I still have a license, and I go to meetings and try to get to a meeting every week. But, you know, a lot of things you never learn in medical school, and you never learn in medical meetings. And there is a very definite relationship between mental health and behavior and diet. And one of the real tragedies of today is we're eating, you know, things that really have a psychotropic effect, and so much of it's bad, whether it would be certainly the MSG, whether it be the aspartames, whether it be the fact that, you know, we're eating too many Twinkies or too much sugar, or certainly we're not getting the proper nutrition. And I have a good friend. I don't know if you ever had a chance to interview him. His name is Russell Blaylock, but he's a retired neurosurgeon who now spends full time, on health research. And he has a video out called Nutrition and Behavior. And he simply points out all the scientific studies that show the definite relationship between proper diet and, of course, behavior and mental attitude, even to the point where many times people who have had severe depressions, when they get on a proper diet, why, of course, the depression will clear, they get off the proper diet, the depression comes back. The same thing for alcoholics. It is really, there is so much out there as far as nutrition is concerned. Our good friend Dr. Lorraine Day actually has a video called Turn on the Light, talking about the terrible depressions people will have and how proper nutrition can actually cure that. And yet, you talk to the average doctor about that, he'll just laugh at you.
That's unfortunate, but I understand what you're saying is very true. You know, if I may recommend a book, I just finished this evening, and I can't tell you how excited it got me. And I can't even tell you the name of the author. The book is downstairs, and I had 4 other people requesting to read it as soon as I was done. Have you ever heard of a book called Sanctuary?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, it was written as a novel, but I understand that it's more than a novel. It's quite real. And it's about an individual. He says, no, I don't practice medicine. I don't diagnose disease. I don't cure a darn thing. But I work with frequencies. And he says, we're bundles of energy in the form of human. And all energy has various frequencies. And he devised a way to read frequencies that actually gave him information for the last 7 lifetimes, 7 whatever. And he can affect the frequency. And by removing negative frequencies, all of a sudden, the people are getting well. Everything in this particular book has to do with the frequencies that we all live in and live with. The many frequencies that we're made up of, and he just adjusts frequencies, and he claims that's a scientific, not a medical situation, and but the results have been absolutely astounding. And having studied Royal Raymond Rife and his frequency generator, and being aware of frequency health for a number of years, for me, the book was quite a find. As a matter of fact, it was given to me by a physician, and I'm grateful for it. And I just found it to be a fantastic read that, to my mind, made just a great deal of sense. Because, and something I think where we can really agree, is our bodies are magnificent creations and quite capable, properly fed, of handling most any problem. I mean, our immune system was given to us for a very good reason. And if we just, if we took half the care of our own being as we do of our vehicles, we wouldn't have all these various plagues running around the nation today. And it's just something I strongly believe in, so I talk about it on the air extensively. Between that and the fraud of the political situation and the dismantling of our nation, I could be on the air many more hours every day and never run out of material, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it really, I'm sure you enjoy talk radio as much as I do. It's really, it is such a challenge and so stimulating, especially we have a program every Wednesday evening where we don't have a subject.
Uh-huh.
We just go on the air and we say, this is Open Line Wednesday. You know, if you don't call in, it's going to be a long hour. and we already get calls and simply people asking questions or talk
sure.
about various things. And there's so many people out there who are so concerned. But simply for me, this is one of the high points of the week.
Yeah. And my afternoon, my programs, I cannot tell you how I look forward to them. I genuinely do, because it's just, I don't know if anybody's really paying attention. I know a lot of people, unfortunately, have in their own way decided they gave up, and the question you most commonly hear is, well, what can I do about it? Well, doggone it. Don't wait for everybody else to do it for you. Get involved. If you care about this country, no. If you care about your children and your grandchildren, I think that's the best reason of all. Because sometimes this fraud becomes so blatant that it's impossible to miss. I mean, we're involved in so many things. Now, how many of us are even aware? And I know you've covered this, but all we're referring to is the North American region, which simply means, goodbye, United States of America. We're going to dissolve our borders between us and Mexico and us and Canada, and we will now become a region. And how many of us are aware of what we call the NAFTA superhighway, which will literally go right through the middle of this nation, cutting it like in half, with the Security and Prosperity Network that our administration, without Congress's knowledge, has been holding just a great many secret meetings on and moving forward like, why not? Well, if we're supposed to be a republic, which is what I believe we were started out to be, is a constitutional republic, then there are certain laws that we should all be adhering to. And they've been forgotten, they've been ignored, they've been trampled on. And too many good people have given too much to preserve this nation for us to all sit back and watch it being thrown away.
And, you know, you say, what can one person do? Well, you're one person, and I'm one person, and Alex Jones is one person. I mean, Alex has, he's just a fellow who decided he wanted to do something. And Joyce Riley and Chuck Chrismeyer and, of course, Pastor Butch Paw, and I can think of dozens of other people, other people who do programs on Genesis with me. You know, they're people who are willing to take the time and put in the effort and sometimes invest their own money or until they can eventually get sponsors to help them. But we are each only one person. We do not have, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation or the Ford Foundation or the National Public Radio behind us. But we're trying to reach people, and there are more and more people across the country, I think, that are beginning to understand that America's in trouble. Lou talks about the building this North American community. There's a plan. The elitists want to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. Do you care? Do you understand what the implications of this would be? Because our Constitution, all of our rights, the Bill of Rights, would simply become a remembrance of things past.
That's right.
We have to get the people involved. And this can be done by individuals. It will be the individual that does this. With enough individuals joining it, along with Lou and myself and the others, then, of course, we can begin to reach people all across America. But if you're in the listening audience, you've got to become informed. You've got to learn, and then you've got to start telling others. Maybe they don't want to hear, but you've got to tell them.
Well, they've got to want to. I know they're too busy. They're trying to survive. Everybody in the household works anymore. Nobody has time for anything. But this is something they better start taking time for. And if I may, the video in which I really enjoyed your particular portion, it was all great, but Under Siege says so very much. And I keep telling people, don't just get a copy. Show it to everyone you know. Make copies. Get this darn thing distributed widely because it's true. And if more people really began to understand the seriousness of the issue, they'd find a way to take the time to help contribute toward supporting the protection of our nation.
And I would comment that we do carry this video. It's called Under Siege, and it's got just a good cross-section of the conservative patriots that I know and I work with, know most of them personally. They're just talking about what's really going on. And the powerful forces that are aligned against freedom, and the spirits of forces that are aligned against freedom. The video is called Under Siege, and it's available. Do you carry it, Lou?
I don't have a distributorship. I just recommend it. I promote it. I give the number where they can get a hold of it. I would like to see it just in every household in the country.
All right, fine. Well, you can get it by calling the 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. That's one of the items that we carry that we think is so vitally important. Because America is under attack today. We're not under attack by Islamic terrorists. If we really were, they would have closed the border a long time ago. The attack is really coming from people within our society who have a different vision for America. So I certainly agree with Lou, absolutely. This video is important, and fortunately, I really was privileged to have the opportunity to have a small part in it. And to get back and see where Joyce lives there in a Mennonite community, if you can believe. And simply recently we've seen the pictures of the Amish there where they kill the four Amish girls and they drive around with the horse-drawn carriages. Well, that's just the way it was back there in Missouri with the Mennonite community where Joyce lives. And we, of course, had the opportunity of doing the filming there. But America is the most unique and wonderful nation in the world.
It was It was the great experiment, and it worked better than anyone thought it ever could.
And, of course, our enemy is not from without.
No.
Our enemy is within.
That's right.
And that's what people really must understand, and they've got to get involved in this battle. And you know, so often I hear this, Lou, from people, and they say, well, I keep telling people, what's going on, and they don't want to listen. What do you say to them?
Well, it's not what you say, but it's the way you present it. Find out, are you happy with the way things were? My first question when I start talking to people is this the same country you grew up in? Really, what's changed? What have you noticed? And then go from there, and all of a sudden their heads will start nodding in agreement. Because unless you've been born in the last 20 years, or maybe even less, this is not the same country most all of us grew up in. And it's just getting, you know, I've been told how many times it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I don't know how it can get a whole lot worse. I've watched changes. I can remember things.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Lou. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Lou Epton. And Lou is just talking about the changes he's seen in America, you know, since he was a young man. And America is changing. But go ahead, Lou, pick up the story.
Well, you know, you keep reading what a wonderful economy we have. And it feels good, and you want to believe it. Yet you keep running into people in bigger trouble than they've ever been in. Now, I live in a fairly decent community here in the Las Vegas area. And all right, once in a while there'll be a home on the block for sale. And all of a sudden, I think there's more than the normal amount. And it's not just in this neighborhood. It's almost anywhere in the city. And people, nobody's ever home anymore. They're all so busy trying to make a living. And the wages have been badly depressed. And now the pensions are being, well, that's a whole story by itself, what's going on with pension plans, people that have put in all the years with various companies that were made big promises, and all of a sudden the promises evaporated, and now they're having to work longer than they had originally planned. The savings in our nation, the average family is not saving so much. Now they're talking about, well, I'm not bad off. My debt is only this or that. Not my savings is whatever, but my debt load is now only whatever. And you start looking at all these figures and start listening to things going on, and when you realize that when you read unemployment figures, they're not true, because they only count those people who are collecting unemployment benefits. Well, how about all the people that have used up all of their benefits and aren't any longer collecting? They don't exist on these records. And you've got to ask, well, how many people have used up all of their benefits and are just, you know, between a rock and a hard place? So, again, there's just so darn many things going on, and sometimes you don't know where to start.
Well, I think what we have to do is try to get people to understand that what is happening to America is not happening by accident.
Oh.
You're concerned about the pension funds. Well, just within the last couple of days, Mr. Bernanke, who is the new director of the Fed, gave a speech where he said that they're going to have to do something dramatic to Social Security and Medicare. They're going to have to cut back the benefits dramatically, because in the year 2008, that's just a year from now,
yeah,
a little over a year from now, why, the baby boomers who can retire early are going to start retiring, and there just is not enough money there. And there is no way that this is fiscally stable, and they're either going to have to dramatically increase the income tax, and they're talking about a 60% increase in federal income tax, or dramatically cut back on Social Security and Medicare benefits. And so many people who think that they're secure because they've got Medicare and Social Security and the corporate pension are suddenly going to realize that it's all a lie, and they've known it was a lie. They've made these promises when there is no possible way those promises can be fulfilled, and people are going to have to start looking away from government to solve their problem. They're going to have to start figuring what they can do on their own. They've got to reclaim that I thought of being an American where you were responsible for yourself. You didn't look to a corporation or somebody else. You looked to yourself to plan for your future.
That's for sure. You know, we mentioned underseas. There's one other product on the market that I think people should be very aware of. It's a movie that was made by Aaron Russo called From Freedom to Fascism. I don't know where it's playing now. I know it's playing across the nation. I know that it's been getting standing ovations everywhere that it's been shown. Are you familiar with Mr. Russo?
Oh, yes, I am. In fact, we even had the opportunity of actually interviewing him after he got back from overseas, where he was getting medical treatment. But it is available on DVD, and I know one of my friends has a copy and promised to get it for me. I want to make sure, though, that if we do not want to offer pirated copies, we want to offer copies where Mr. Russo will make something out of it, because he's put his whole heart and soul and invested everything he had in this motion picture, and it's being totally blocked out by the controlled media. It's only the alternative radio light, such as your programs and mine, where anybody's hearing about this apparently amazing video that really dramatically presents the truth about what's going on as we move from freedom towards a corporate socialist state. And, of course, that's exactly what they called it in Benito Mussolini's Italy, a corporate socialist state or fascism. The DVD is From Free America, From Freedom to Fascism. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Do you really care? We'll be back in just a moment here with Lou Epton, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Lou Epton, and we're talking about Aaron Russo's film, From Freedom to Fascism, and I am about the only person I know who hasn't seen the film, although I've actually talked to Mr. Russo about it, and I've been trying to find out where it would be shown locally, but apparently it is a phenomenal film, and hopefully we'll rekindle that desire for freedom that once made America the envy of the whole world. Have you seen it, Lou?
You've really got to hope that we can and do. You know, this is the same man that is responsible for such movies as Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and The Rose with Bette Midler. I mean, he's a professional Hollywood producer, and he's made award-winning films. But this one is his greatest, and those are his words. His story was simple. He had left the country years ago with his son. And when he came back, he couldn't believe everything that was going on. And so he started getting involved. And fortunately, he had an open mind. You know, when you or I or Alex or whoever start talking about cults like the Illuminati or the CFR or the Trilateral, people for how long would look at you and say, you got to be a kook, you got to be crazy, there's no such thing. And now more people are beginning to understand what it was we've been trying to say for however long. They're very real. They do exist. And they control everything that goes on. Our elected officials are really, in my opinion, no more than puppets who do what they're told for greed. And it's just wrong. I'm telling my listeners, don't vote for a politician. Vote for somebody that loves their community and loves their country, and I don't care how little experience they've had, let their heart lead them, and you can't be worse off, you've got to be better off. And this November is going to be extremely important.
So, I agree with you. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens.
And I know they're upset with both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and they have good reason to be. But when you have a controlled media, such as we all of us now live with, mainstream has been lying to us. Well, no, let me back up and rephrase. What they're not reporting is so much more important than the garbage they talk about. And, you know, we have one wire service, and they all rip and read the very same stories, except for local killings or such things as that. But on the national scene, I can't think of any network that's reporting serious news.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton. And our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Lou is just saying that, you know, he does a talk radio program in Las Vegas, as I do my programs. And he was just saying that the media is not telling us the truth. All of the major television networks and others are simply reading exactly the same script. It really is very interesting. You can go from ABC to CBS to NBC, and when they get to the news, it's always the same issues, the same things they focus our attention on, and the really important issues that we should be discussing are seldom, if ever, discussed. And this whole thing with Foley, the congressman, you know, it's simply an October surprise to discredit the Republicans. And I'm not saying the Republicans shouldn't be discredited. I'm not saying that they haven't covered for corruption and pedophilia, exactly as the Catholic Church has been doing for years. But this sort of thing goes on all the time. One only has to read the book, The Franklin Cover-Up by John DeCamp, to find out that they've been these pedophile rings that go right into the White House for many years. Now, I don't know if I'm talking about the current White House, but I'm talking about past White Houses and the efforts, of course, to prevent the truth from coming out about these tragic children who have been misused by some of the most wealthy and powerful men in America. And the things that go on at the Bohemian Grove are really unspeakable, as some of our leading citizens running around naked in the woods and Well, it's not a very nice thing to think about, but this is the reality of what's happened in our country where we've lost our moral footing. So, but what we have to do, of course, is get people listening to programs like Lou's and the others out there that are reliable are going to talk about what the real issues are and get us away from the major networks, which are simply, as Lou says, script readers, and they're giving you what the elite wants you to hear. And just never forget those words of Edward Bernay, the father of modern-day propaganda, and his book Propaganda, written in 1928, where he said, you know, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And that's exactly what's going on today. Wouldn't you agree, Lou?
I couldn't agree more. You know, how many people now question the Lee Harvey Oswald lone assassin situation going back to the Kennedy years. Too few people question the truth about what went on in Waco. Too few people question about what really went on up in Ruby Ridge. Too few people question about Flight TWA 800. I mean...
Don't forget about Oklahoma City and the bombing of the Murrah Building as well. And to this very day, the FBI refuses to release the videotapes that they had of, you know, of the front of the Murrah Building that day, saying, well, there's an ongoing investigation, and we wouldn't want to embarrass that ongoing investigation by, you know, releasing the videotapes that show the other people who were there working with Tim McVeigh. Why? Because some of them were from the Near East. They were Islamic people. And they were part of a terrorist cell there that was working very, very closely with the American government. And the FBI has been forced to cover that up, and we have so much information on that. But we can't let the American people realize
the implication. Dr. Stan, I can barely hear you, sir. I don't know why, but all of a sudden my reception is fading, and my phone is, I don't know, is there any way we can increase...
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have my producer go ahead and give you a call right back. How would that be?
Just a little bit better.
Is that better now?
Not really.
All right, fine. I'm going to ask you to hang up, and I'm going to ask my Letitia, who's the producer tonight, to give you a call right back, okay?
Fair enough. Thank
you. All right, fine. I'm going to ask our producer to go ahead and call Lou back again, and maybe we just got a weak line. But I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you begin, of course, analyzing what's going on. And there is so much information out there about what happened at Oklahoma City. And believe me, Timothy McVeigh did not act alone with Terry. And, of course, one of the things that has never been brought out is the fact, the letter that Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister. Now, it's covered in a book. I think we still carry it. It's called OK Bomb by Jim Keith. He used to write a lot of the things, of course, and he apparently it's out of print and we can't get it anymore. But Jim Keith died very mysteriously, and a few weeks later his publisher died very mysteriously, and then a few weeks later his ex-wife died very mysteriously. Well, what is so significant about the book and is the fact that Timothy McVeigh had written a letter to his sister, Jennifer, in which he said, I am working in a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. Now, I've actually talked to a gentleman from Oklahoma City, a gentleman who actually had actually led the battle down there to get Charles Key, Representative Charles Key, to get the truth out, that he has a copy of the letter. He's seen it, and I would stake my life on Charles Key. So obviously McVeigh was part of something else, and of course, but they can't let the American people know that or about the Islamic terrorist cell. Have you ever heard about that, Lou? Lou, are you there? Lou? Is that any better?
Much better, and thank you so very much.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, have you ever heard about that letter that Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister, Jennifer?
No, I really have not.
I talked to Charles Key. He verified the existence of it. I know that my friend Craig Roberts, who'd investigated that, has verified it, and Jim Keith did too, but he's no longer with us, and his book is now out of print.
Oh, boy.
But I guess this is what happens so often when people expose the truth.
Yes.
In America.
Yes, it's unfortunate, but I believe that sincerely. Do you know, I've long said, if you took a photograph of Tim McVeigh and you took one of Lee Harvey Oswald and you looked at them, now they both have very similar backgrounds. They had good military records. Are you familiar with what we call MK Ultra?
Yes, uh-huh.
I can't help but wonder. I have no real reason to say this. It's just a personal belief. But I think they were both mind-controlled. They were both patsies. They were set up for the events that they were involved in.
Well, I'll tell you a fascinating story. I don't know if you know who Bill Cooper was. But Bill Cooper had a television program out of Texas for many years. And Bill Cooper, shortly after the McVeigh execution, had a tape. And it did, it was actually an interview with a woman that Timothy McVeigh had actually invited to come to see the execution. So she was a reporter. She was there. And she was being interviewed on somebody else's program. And she actually was saying, I have a copy of the tape around someplace, but she was saying, you know, I was there and, you know, I didn't know that you kept breathing after you were dead. I did not know you kept breathing after you were dead. Well, Bill Cooper played that tape over and over and over on his program one night. He must have played it 30 times. I didn't know that you kept breathing after you were dead. And within a few weeks, there was a SWAT team out who killed Bill Cooper, gunned him down and killed him. I don't know the circumstances. They claim he had shot an officer, and so they simply killed him. But unfortunately, this sort of thing does happen in America today.
When you have a media that is in lockstep with the bureaucrats, it's not a surprise, is it?
No, it really isn't. Well, we've got Roger calling in from Pennsylvania, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks, John. And it's been really delightful listening to your conversational tone tonight. And I've already developed a reputation as a know-it-all, mostly with family, of course, but it's a situation only worsened by having learned so much from the likes of yourself. it's like you feel like you come home when you listen to your show.
Well, God bless you, Roger. Do you have a question at all for Lou?
Not so much that, just kind of an observation.
All right.
I'm waging war in the marketplace of ideas here in the local and regional and some national shows. And there's rarely any backup, but some surprisingly good backup. I've seen some of the guests reduced to a massive jelly after just two or three even weaker follow-on calls. And so it's very encouraging and liberating. And so I would just want to encourage the folks not to just confine yourselves to singing to the choir. And it's really difficult to build up a base of knowledge without that, if you care to say anything on that score.
All right, God bless you, and thanks so very much, Roger. Well, let's go, of course, to now Luke, who's calling in from Florida. Hi, Luke. Do you have some questions?
Well, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to figure out, I'm new to listening to your radio station here, and I have to say you have a great show tonight, and thank you for the information you've been letting us know out here. I was just pretty much wondering what your opinions are of this upcoming election and what do you think that's going to happen with the libertarians getting into office.
Well, Lou, why don't you take that question?
Well,
what do you think of the upcoming election? What do you think about the chances of the libertarians?
Well, the libertarians of all the independent parties have probably had more success than anyone. I don't see them doing anything of major proportions. Unfortunately, too many people are tied to their parties, even at this time, even though they're upset. And, of course, I'm very hopeful that I'm wrong. I'm very hopeful that more people will pick any third party, libertarian or independent or by whatever other name. And like I say, it's all but a prayer of my own because it's the only way we'll affect an honest change. But what scares me, and here again I'm going to refer to the Collier brothers, Jim and, forgive me, I forgot his brother's name, but
that's okay.
A vote scam, the stealing of America. And this really is nothing new. But now with these new touchscreen computerized machines, and nobody will deny they're easily rigged.
So do you think that the elections here in Florida are going to be legitimate at all with all the new touchscreen printing? Because it would seem that they'd be able to put the Republicans back in office pretty easy.
I can tell you what I'm doing, and that is I'm voting absentee. At least I'm going to have to count my vote by other means. So
there you go.
I think that we should have everybody understand that these elections are rigged. Get rid of the electronic voting machines and keep calling every program you can, Luke, and tell them, you can rig the election so very easily. And simply, I always love to tell this story of one of the precincts in Oklahoma, probably in Ohio during the last election, the state that decided who the president would be in the race between John Kerry and George Bush. And in this one precinct, they had 800 voters, and they had 4,000 votes for George Bush. And
really?
The explanation was, well, the machine had a hiccup.
Yeah,
well, with an
right.
explanation like that, I would say if they can fix one machine, they can fix them all.
And
I think
do.
That, Luke, we need to let people understand that this whole concept of democracy is a fraud. We do not have a representative government, first of all, because machines are fixed, and secondly, because we have an awful lot of politicians who are fixed.
That's for sure. And plus which, the independents don't get any airtime or media exposure to speak of. The debates are only between the Republicans and the Democrats for the most part. I mean, look what happened when they made the mistake up in Minnesota by letting Jimmy Ventura get involved in the debates.
I guess I was going to say, do you think the fish down here in Florida are going to be able to get into office this year?
The who?
Well, that's kind of our nickname down here. We're part of the Green Party, and, you know, it kind of seems like we call them fish because they jump in and out of this issue and that issue, and you can't keep a track of them without them changing, you know, what they say right again in the next moment.
I don't think there's got much of a chance of it, but we're not going to have a chance to change government until we have people who really care. Luke, your job is to make people concerned, whether you're on the left or the right. We need them to understand we're losing America. And God bless you. Thanks very much for your call.
Yeehaw.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, of course, that was Luke from Florida, and he's expressing concern about the voting machines, and I think we should all be concerned. He's expressing a concern about third parties. I think we need to unite behind one party, one third party, and simply replace Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B. And until people understand, and we have so many Christian leaders who are saying, oh, you've got to vote for the Republicans because the Democrats are so bad. And I say, well, what's the difference between them? I mean, how many lives have the Republicans saved from abortion? How many, you know, really changes has there been? I mean, has the Republicans cut spending as they promised? Have the Republicans cut the debt as they promised? And what they've done is given us massive tax cuts, which I'm all in favor of, and then the increased government spending. But you can't do that without destroying the nation.
That's right.
And so I think that we have to point out that your tax cuts with increased spending is totally irresponsible. I'm all in favor of tax cuts. We need to get the government, get the money away from the government. And I think that's one reason why Aaron Russo's film is so important, because it brings out the little-known fact that the Internal Revenue Service, or as I refer to it as the Infernal Revenue Service, the IRS legislation was never ratified by the states, and it's all fraudulent. Now, I'm not suggesting people don't pay their taxes, but I am suggesting that we begin to bring out the fact that there's corruption in Washington, D.C., and there was corruption back there in 1913. It's a lot worse today.
And how? You know, they talk, and I don't like what happened to Representative Foley, what he was involved in. I think it's as sick as the mind can imagine. But I don't think he's the only one, and it certainly is on both sides of the aisle. What you were saying a little bit ago about the McMahon School for Kids that Ted Gunderson was involved in years ago, the Franklin cover-up, book exposed so much about all of these super wealthy people and their little games they play. When we still have people like Barney Franks in office, and we have how many more in California in office? I mean, it's diversionary, and it supposedly is taking our mind off of the evil that is still going on, the fact that we're being illegally invaded and nobody really gives a damn because, according to media, these are all just hardworking people and they're just looking for a better life. Well, by golly, Mexico itself is a pretty fine country if they could clean it up and straighten it out, and I would rather see them working toward that end than coming into our country, bringing diseases that haven't been around for decades, and keeping wages where as low as they already are, and committing the innumerable crimes that they do, and bankrupting our hospitals, and trying to, then they won't assimilate. They are sent their worst people up here, good Mexican people, and there are more of those than not, are still in Mexico trying to do what's right, but what we're getting at the bottom of the barrel, and it's going to bankrupt us more than it already has.
All right, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Lou Upton. Well, Lou, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners?
If I may, yes. It's LouEptonShow.com. Lou Upton Show. LouEptonShow.com. And we do stream our program Monday through Friday between 1:30 and 3 in the afternoon Pacific time.
All right.
So if anybody wants to, and if you are on the Internet, you're invited. And, of course, we have a toll-free number where people can call in, not unlike your own or yourself. And mine is a guest-driven program, Dr. Stan, which is one of the reasons I enjoy speaking with you so very much. You've been a guest on the program a number of times. We've learned more from you and guests similar to yourself on these various topics. I have never claimed to be the intelligent one on the show. I do the first half hour, my own commentary, and then I always have a guest such as yourself and people that have done a great deal of homework and investigative research and bring facts to light that I would like the public to be aware of. And that's kind of the show I've been doing here for the last 15-plus years.
We were really, if you kind of...
Harvey?
I was going to say, if you have a good guest, it makes all the difference in the world. And Chris,
I can barely hear you again.
I don't know why.
You're having this problem, but for a while you were coming through loud and clear, and again, you're barely audible.
I'm terribly sorry, Lou. Well, anyway, I just want to thank you so very much for being with us this evening. It's always a pleasure, and I hope we can get you back again here in the not-too-distant future.
Well, thank you for allowing me on, and Dr. Stan, stay well. God bless you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program, sir.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Lou Upton, and of course, Lou has a wonderful program there in Las Vegas, and one of a number of people that is out there just trying to hit various cities, and Las Vegas is a big city. And he is the voice of conservatism there. He doesn't have a lot of support. He does this. He gets sponsors to help him, and he reaches people. And, of course, his program is from about 2, I guess, to 3:30 there in the afternoon. But people like Lou all across America are doing this. And you could, too, ladies and gentlemen, if you put your mind to it, your heart to it. We have other friends who are doing this sort of thing because they really care about America, because they think it's worthwhile to try to save this country. Do you? What sacrifice you're going to make? And if you can't do it yourself, then help people like Lou and the others who are out there. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you would like to, why, give us a call at 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me remind you once again, our all-day conference we're going to be holding here in the Monterey Bay area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's going to be on the 29th of October. That's a Sunday, and we're bringing in speakers from across the country, Constance Cumby, Chris Pinto, Barrett Schoes, Michael Shaw, and I'll be giving a talk as well. We're servlets. A good time will be had by all. You'll learn a lot. You'll have an opportunity to get an awful lot of material and documentation that I hope that you can take home and show to others and begin to convince them, because there is a growing awareness that something is seriously wrong in America. It's up to you to help us educate the American people, and, of course, it's up to you, of course, whether or not your children will live in a free nation or in an enslaved nation, because there really are people who would take away our freedom. So if you'd like to come to our conference, our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're trying, of course, to raise support for reprinting Dr. Dennis Cuddy's wonderful book, Secret Records Revealed. It's a classic. It's a book that I keep very close to me at all times. We've actually added a index. We've added a epilogue. And once we have the pledges for the printing, we'll go ahead and print up copies. And so if you'd like to get a case of Dr. Cuddy's books, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and you get the details on that. That's 1-800-544-8927, and you'll have the books. You can sell them. You can give them away. You can do whatever you want to, but it is an excellent teaching tool, just as is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will get some of the items we have, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Why is that video important, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version? Because there are people in the music industry and in government who made a pact with the devil. Well, of course, we can't get the people in government to admit it, but we can get the people in the music industry to admit it, and you'll be amazed by these videos. And then, of course, we hope that many of you want to get the book Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin. And you can get that along with the 4-tape set we have on Malachi Martin, the Malachi Martin Special. Would you like to know the truth about O.J. Simpson? You've never gotten it from the media. We have a 4-tape set on O.J. Simpson that will give you an entirely different impression of what really happened. Would you like to know about the Bohemian Grove? Or the Skull and Bone Society, to which our president, our Christian president, belongs. Would you like to know the truth about America's invisible government? We have a 4-tape set on the secret government. Would you like to know about the men we abandoned in Vietnam? We have a 4-tape set, the men we left behind. Or we have the Vietnam Special, which will give you the story of the men we left behind in the Vietnam War, the real reason for Vietnam. You've never been told the real reason for Vietnam, but you need to understand. We never went there to win any more than we went into Iraq to win the war. We just went in as a great diversion, and as a young man fight in Iraq, why we are losing our freedom here at home. That's what wars so often are fought for. If you'd like to get the background of Iraq, you need to get a video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and with that, the syllabus, which gives you the documentation for everything we say. That's Iraq, the Untold Story. If you want to understand how they're poisoning your children with fluoride, the hidden agenda, the video, the syllabus, sustainable development, the video, the syllabus. What's happening financially? The financial tsunami, and the syllabus. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
good afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation. It is Friday. A deep breath. We made it through another week. It is 6th of October, 2006, and aren't you sick of this Foley Gate feeding frenzy on Fox and Friends?